Hi, it's Paul W. Smith. And you know, over the past few months, I've been talking about a top-notch, locally-based estate planning firm right here in our own backyard. Estate Planning Legal Services, PC. They're based in Metro Detroit with offices and attorneys throughout the great state of Michigan. Their goal is to make estate planning easy to understand with attorneys who will help you decide and put in writing how you want to live and die, as well as teach you how you can hold on to your hard-earned money to ensure your loved ones receive the maximum inheritance. Now, they have an affordable and easy-to-understand approach to legal services. Estate planning is no longer a confusing, complicated process that is only the domain of the wealthy. No matter the size of your estate, they provide a comprehensive plan designed for your individual needs. Estate Planning Legal Services offers a complimentary estate planning kit filled with straightforward educational information to help you understand your options and choose the plan that truly fits your needs. You can begin your estate planning right from home with no cost and no obligation. When you're ready, schedule a teleconference or an in-person appointment with EPLS to review your plan in detail. You've worked hard your entire life to build your estate. Take the time to protect it. Proper estate planning is the simplest way to safeguard your assets, ensure your wishes are honored, and spare your loved ones the burden of navigating probate court. Get your complimentary estate planning kit and schedule your appointment today with locally based Estate Planning Legal Services. You can call them at 248-435-0400 or visit EPLSPC.com. And today, on this very important podcast, we're going to be talking with Estate Planning Legal Services managing partner, Jeff Sharp, on the overall importance of our estate planning. Jeff, nice to be with you.
Thank you for having me.
Tell our listeners and our viewers how Estate Planning Legal Services started and where you're located, along with the areas you service throughout our region.
Sure. Estate Planning Legal Services started about 25 years ago. They saw a need to have comprehensive estate planning that can be explained to everyone, rather than have it continue with the common misconception it's only for the incredibly wealthy. Really, there's a role for an estate plan for everybody. And so the Estate Planning Legal Services saw that need and decided that they really want to introduce estate planning to everybody. So for the last 25 years, we've been doing just that. Our office is here in Troy, but we also have an office in Grand Rapids, and we really service the entire state of Michigan. We have attorneys that will come to you and meet with you, discuss what your needs are, and then return with an estate plan to make sure that we have all your needs met and can protect you and your family.
You know, Jeff, the truth of the matter is, and myself included, growing up, we didn't have a lot. We just didn't. And when we thought of a trust, we thought, oh yeah, that's something that the rich people do to somehow avoid taxes or something like that. Well, part of it was right. You can avoid some taxes and you can avoid probate. Why should people have a goal of having a complete estate plan, even if they think, well, I'm not rich, I don't need to do that?
I mean, that's a great question, and that's a very common misconception, in my opinion. An estate plan really is all about control. You really want to have control of the who, the what, and the when. Who's receiving your assets? Who's in charge of your assets? Who's in charge of you if you are unable to make your own decisions? But also what people would be receiving and when they're receiving their assets. From a probate perspective, I just want everyone to understand probate's not a good thing. Probate takes time. It can take upwards of a year for the probate matter to be handled. And you hear some of the horror stories where it takes multiple years to do so. It's also public record, which means that anybody can look online or at the courthouse and see who's receiving assets, who's in charge. And so the unsavory element that may be out there may be able to take advantage of the situation. But then there's also the cost, like you had mentioned. The AARP says that probate costs around 5% of the value of the assets passing through probate. That can make it quite an expensive endeavor.
And who wouldn't want to have control of who receives your assets, what assets they receive, and when they receive them? Of course, we all would want that kind of control, and we're only going to get it with a trust. But what about people say, well, Jeff Sharp, I have a will, What's the difference here?
I hear that all the time. A will is a good start from the standpoint, at least you are controlling who is in charge as long as the will is done properly, and also who's receiving assets. The problem with a will, it only gives instruction to the probate court. So now you're giving instruction to the probate court, but you're still going through probate. So you have not saved the time or the cost or the public record. And so that's where a will typically falls short.
We're going to continue our conversation with Estate Planning Legal Services managing partner, Jeff Sharp. But if you want to get in touch with them, it's easy. Call 248-435-0400, 248-435-0400, or visit EPLSPC, which stands for Estate Planning Legal Services.com. Again, 248-435-0400, or visit EPLSPC.com. We're spending time with Jeff Sharp, the EPLS managing partner, Estate Planning Legal Services. And we're going to learn a few things that are going to be very important to us in our future and to our families. We know now that probate court has several disadvantages. We've talked about that. It's slow, it's expensive, it's completely public. Tell our listeners and our viewers what a testator is.
So a testator is the person who's creating the will. So when you create the will, you are the testator of the will.
So then why does a probate court have so many disadvantages when it comes to fulfilling the will of a testator? Sounds like a matador, but it's a testator.
It does. Well, sometimes it seems like you're in a fight when you're trying to go through probate.
And you have to go through a lot of bulls to get there.
True, very true. The issue that you typically have is that probate literally means to prove. And that's the probate process. They want you to prove that the will that you're submitting is the proper will. Maybe there's another will done 10 years before or 10 years after. Which one's the proper will? So that's really the probate process. And then what happens is that they appoint a personal representative, historically the executor, and that's the decision maker for the probate estate. So what happens is that the executor or the personal representative is the one that would approach the bank or approach the various entities that are holding your assets to get control over them so they can follow your wishes, pay less bills, and things like that.
So the probate, just to reiterate, and I think we need to each time, a probate's going to cost money, time, will need to play out in a very public way. And I think that should matter to people, but why do you say it does? And how can you help minimize all of that?
So I think probate matters because you can avoid the unnecessary cost, the delay, and the public record by having a revocable living trust. The revocable living trust operates very similar to what you would historically think a will does, which is it appoints who's receiving your assets and who's in charge upon your death. The benefit is, though, is that it is the owner of your assets, and as the owner of your assets, it is allowing you to avoid probate because you name successors. You might be the initial trustee of the trust, and then you name a successor, whether it's another family member or individual that's going to carry out your instructions. So much like a corporation where if something happens to the president, the vice president steps in, it holds true with the trust as well. If something happens to you, then you have a successor stepping in, and that's how we avoid probate. There's always someone within the trust to be in control.
It sounds to me, Jeff Sharp, and you'll tell me otherwise, but it sounds to me that this is how people can potentially avoid having to go to probate court. The best way, it appears, is indeed having a revocable living trust properly placed.
I would absolutely agree. A revocable living trust is the best way to avoid probate because it gives you complete control, again, over the who, the what, and the when. But the job's not done once you create the trust. Really, it's just a piece of paper. Once you've signed the trust, we need to fund the trust, which means we need to retitle your assets or change the ownership to the trust so that upon your passing, it's already owned by the trust. And that's truly how we avoid probate.
It sounds like an excellent program. And the fact that they're going to help you retitle your assets at no extra charge if you're a client. And if there are any changes you need in the future, you offer them free for life. That's fabulous news.
Yeah, when I first started here, I thought it was absolutely crazy, but it works because I think it's a great point. We want to work with you for the rest of your life. So as your life changes, so can your documents. And we want to make sure we're there for you to make those changes, to make the documents relevant as your life continues.
I think that's spectacular. Call 248-435-0400 or visit EPLSPC.com. That's 248-435-0400 or visit EPLSPC.com. What risk of having children on your financial and property accounts is there? Well, we're about to find out with the EPLS managing partner, Jeff Sharp. Jeff, tell our listeners and our viewers how it is potentially risky to have children on your financial accounts and your estate holdings.
Sure, absolutely. I see this all the time. People are trying to find ways to avoid probate without having to go through the rigors of creating a trust, which I hopefully have explained. It's actually quite simple to do. When you have a child as a joint owner on your account, you run into several issues. One is your child's now the owner of the account, which means they could withdraw the entirety of the account. But it's not just them. If they get divorced, that money is available in the divorce court. So that means that you could potentially lose this asset that you're counting on just because you have your child's name on it. But it's not just, you know, from a divorce standpoint, it's also from a creditor standpoint. So if there is a lawsuit against your child or a bankruptcy, that money is also available. So I think that it does not give you the protection that you want or need when there are other ways like a revocable living trust to avoid probate and maintain control without that risk of losing the assets.
It clear, because we've all heard this along the way and it's not correct. We say, okay, this is how I'm going to do that. I'm going to put my house in my child's name. That is not solving your problem. In fact, it might be adding to your problems.
It can definitely make it worse. That's for sure. And it's not just that. If you name one child to be the co-owner on an account, there's no guarantee that they're going to share that with their siblings. And so that could mean many more and more costly problems down the road as well.
Given that most people would prefer to avoid probate court, what's the correct solution to the problem?
Again, I would point to a revocable living trust. It is a cost-effective means to save the cost of probate, to keep your family business private, and it's much more expedient than the probate process. It gives you control over who's in charge, who's receiving your assets, and when they can receive their assets. I think that's the best solution.
Jeff Sharp is with us, the managing partner of Estate Planning Legal Services. Explain again why a revocable living trust is a legal entity and why it still remains the best option for our viewers and listeners.
Sure. Thank you. Sure. The trust is a legal entity because you're creating it on paper following the state of Michigan's requirements that are necessary in creating a trust. You are setting up who is in charge. You are usually the initial trustees, which are the people in charge. It gives instructions to the trustees as to how it's to operate during your lifetime, but then also upon your death. You name successors to take your place in the event of your death, and they're the ones that'll be carrying out your instructions. So after you pass away, their job is typically to collect the assets, pay any of your last bills, and then follow your instructions about who's receiving assets, when, and how. So much like when we think of our government civics classes, if something happens to the president, the vice president steps in. If something happens to the vice president, the speaker of the house steps in. It's really the same with the trust. You have successor trustees that will step up and continue the business in the event of your death or demise. And as such, that's how we go about avoiding probate.
Jeff, you mentioned something earlier and I need to have clarification. Again, what does it mean when I hear the trust needs to be funded?
Great question. That's typically something when people create a trust that they omit. So for the trust to do its job, all of your assets need to be either owned by or payable to the trust. And so what does that mean? That's trust funding. So you would have a deed typically for your house. We do a Lady Bird deed these days, which would transfer your residence to your trust. So that way it's owned by the trust and we're avoiding probate. But what about your bank accounts, your insurance, your investments, your retirement plans? Those are typically done through a beneficiary designation where you say in the event of your death, you would have the trust be the beneficiary. Now, the answer is different depending on the type of asset, but that usually the remainder beneficiary would be the trust. By remainder, if it's a retirement asset, we may have the spouse be the primary beneficiary.
One other quick thing. I've heard this expression, this term, not sure what it means, in terms of, in this case, a revocable living trust. What does a pour over, or I don't know if it's a pour over trust. I'm not sure what that means. I've heard the expression, though, pour over. Explain that to us.
Yes. So a lot of times when people create a trust, they think they don't need a will, but actually they do. And what we're talking about here is a pour over will. And so the will, really, if everything goes according to plan, we don't need to open the will. There's really two reasons to have a will. One is if you have minor children, and those minor children need to have a guardian appointed in the event of your death, or and so they would the guardian would be the everyday caretaker. But then you would also want to have the pour over part of the will, which says that if anything is not in the trust, the will puts it into the trust, and that way the trust language controls the who and the what and the when. If we need the will to get your assets into the trust, there's probate, which we're trying to avoid, but it's a great backup in case something was missed. And that way, at least the trust can control who's receiving the assets.
That's an excellent point. And that's what you guys do. This is what they do and can do for you at Estate Planning Legal Services. Jeff Sharp is the managing partner. You can call them at 248-435-0400 or visit eplspc.com. That's 248-435-0400 or visit eplspc.com. We're spending time with Jeff Sharp. He is the EPLS managing partner. Jeff, tell our listeners and viewers about a durable power of attorney and when it's necessary to put that in place.
Well, so when we talk to the public about estate planning, it's not just avoiding probate at the time of your death. It's also during your lifetime. So when we're talking about avoiding probate during your lifetime, it's if you become disabled. And if you're disabled and can't make your own decisions from either a financial or a medical perspective, you want to have control over who can make those decisions for you. And that's where powers of attorney come in. There is a durable power of attorney for finance as well as one for medical decisions. We like to keep them separate because I don't think people want the bank to know what your medical wishes are. And I'm certain you don't want the hospital to know what your financial wishes are. So these powers of attorney are designed to avoid probate, because if you did not have these documents, you need to get a guardianship or a conservatorship from the probate court. But with the powers of attorney, you get to name who you want to be in charge in the event of your disability and what decisions they can make, either from the financial perspective or from the medical perspective. So I think it's critical to do so, really, once you hit the age of majority. Once you turn 18, you should have powers of attorney, and that way you can control who's making these decisions for you if you cannot.
Very important, and you can reiterate it, Jeff Sharp, right here, why it's so important when a person becomes incompetent.
Yeah, if you can't make your own decisions, you want to name that best person. I like to compare it to Goldilocks and the Three Bears. You want to find that just right person to make decisions, either from the medical perspective, which ultimately involves life support. You want that person to follow your wishes, not one that hesitates to follow your instructions. On the financial end, you want someone that's capable of making sound financial decisions for you. So I think it's absolutely critical, because everyone has family members that are better at some roles than others. You want to make sure you get that right person in for that decision.
And you want to make sure that nobody eats your porridge.
Exactly.
Finally, a complete estate plan includes the trust and the durable powers of attorney, the way I'm kind of putting this together.
You're absolutely correct. If you want a complete estate plan, you really need the trust. That's how we avoid probate upon your death. You need the pour over will, because that's how we pick up any gaps or anything that was missed during your lifetime. And then we have the financial and medical powers of attorney, which helps us avoid probate during your lifetime if you cannot make decisions for yourself. So all of that is part of our estate planning package.
But it seems to me pretty clear, just in our conversations, Jeff Sharp, you don't want to have to rely on a pour over will if you can avoid it. That's why you want to keep your revocable living trust up to date.
You definitely want to keep it up to date. And that also comes back to that funding discussion we had as well. You want to make sure your assets are either owned by or payable to the trust. And that's how we ensure that we avoid probate.
I hope you come away from our podcast probate is bad. It's slow. It's expensive. It's completely public. The good news is you can avoid probate entirely by really being in touch with EPLS and having them put together a revocable living trust. Keeps you in control. You decide who receives your assets, what assets they receive, and when they receive them. And you might think, like I said earlier, because I felt the same way, well, a trust, that's for rich people. No, a trust is for anyone like you and me who've worked our entire lives to try to accomplish something with the thought of leaving a little something to our family members when it's time for us to go. That's why you want to be in touch with Estate Planning Legal Services PC. And you can do that by calling them at 248-435-0400 or visiting EPLSPC.com. That's 248-435-0400 or visit EPLSPC.com. Trust me, you'll be glad you did. Thank you, Jeff Sharp, for helping us.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.